One of the best ways to start off a message talking about the truth is to try to define it. Well, I can tell you, defining the truth these days is a difficult task. If you want to spend a couple hours doing something besides watching football this afternoon, just Google search, what is the truth, and see what comes up. You're going to get a whole lot of pages with a whole lot of different opinions on what the truth is. I looked up just a couple of simple ones. Wikipedia says this, says truth is the property of being in accord with fact or reality. In everyday language, truth is typically ascribed to things that aim to represent reality or otherwise correspond to it, such as beliefs, propositions, and declarative sentences. Okay. Merriam-Webster breaks it down in four short, simple things. It says, one, the body of real things, events, and fact. Two, the property of being accord with fact or reality, a lot what Wikipedia said. Three, sincerity in action, character, and utterance. And number four was interesting. Number four says literally God. So they put them fourth on his on their list, but at least they mention God in their definition of the truth. If you look through all those pages that you're going to find on your Google search, you're going to see a lot of philosophers over the years debating on what the truth is and what it's not and what the real meaning of truth is. And one of the things that they miss out on in their debates is God. They don't mention God in truth. But, you know, as Christians, I hope that when we're seeking truth in our lives, in our everyday walk, that we are turning to God's truth, which is His Word, right? Because this is what we know to be true each and every day. No matter what the world around us says is true, we know this is God's truth. Amen? So, we're going to dig into what God has to say about truth a little bit later in the message. But I want to share, and I'm going to get up on my soapbox, I'll admit. I said to the deacons at our thing, this is the kind of message that could get me in trouble. Maybe they'll throw me out of here till this is all over. I don't know. Oh, I hope not. But I'm going to get up on my soapbox for a little bit, because here are some of the things that have really been weighing on my heart and that brought this message to the forefront. I come up with messages sometimes when I have trouble sleeping. Okay, and my wife will attest, you know, there's been some times lately where I'm still staring at the ceiling at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to fall asleep. And some of it's because I maybe spend a little too much time looking at my phone and looking at social media and that kind of stuff, and then I let things bother me, and then my mind won't shut off and all that. But, you know, for the last several months, our world has just imploded, has it not? I mean, we've seen our world completely change. We've seen quarantines and stay-at-home orders and wearing a mask mandate. And I mean, can you believe how divisive wearing a mask, not wearing a mask could be? I mean, why do people have to argue about it? It's not, I mean, wear a mask or don't wear a mask. There's no right or wrong answer. But Satan, as I said earlier, uses all these things to divide us. I mean, who would have thought a year ago that we would be dealing with some of the things that we are dealing with today? You can't go out to a restaurant to eat for a while. I mean, that's loosening up a little bit, thank goodness, right? All these things that we take for granted that we could go and have the freedom to do each and every day were all of a sudden back in March taken away from us, it seemed, right? And it's just amazing how our world has changed. But one of the things that I want to focus on today is how it changed social media, okay? Now, I'm a Facebook user. I have a Facebook account, okay? I don't snap or tweet or anything fancy like that. Just Facebook, okay? How many people in here have a Facebook account? Let's be honest. Let's see some hands. A lot of people have their hands up, okay? Now, my wife and kids would call me a Facebook stalker. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? All that that means is that I don't post a lot of things on Facebook. Okay, I really just get on Facebook to look at what everybody else is doing in their lives. If you see a post from me on Facebook, it's usually, let's see, like a recipe of something that looks really yummy that I'd like my wife to try. I'll share that because I like food. Okay, maybe a picture of a cool project that Drew's drug home and what we're going to start working on or something like that. Maybe a cute picture of my daughters or one of Braden's latest reptiles that he's drug home. Right, Kelly? Yeah. All those good things. But that's the kind of things I post. But unfortunately, well, the other thing I like about Facebook, how many people love the memories that come up? I like when it reminds me of a vacation I was on 5 years ago. Or, you know, how little Mia was just a few... There was a video Dorothy Ann shared just this week of a very little Mia dancing to some music in our living room and stuff. And it was the cutest thing. And you just forget about those things until Facebook reminds you of them, right? And that's the great thing that I think that Facebook is good for. But the problem is Facebook has morphed into something completely different, especially in the last couple months, right? It's become a platform for people to choose sides, to pick, I believe in this, and I'm going to share this, and we're going to see how many people think I'm a wonderful person for sharing this and believe in this way, or you have the exact opposite, you post this, and then 100,000 people comment on how dumb you are for believing in this thing, right? That's what it's become. And even more so, in the last couple weeks, and what bothered me and kept me awake the other night, is I've seen recently some posts of people that I know, young people that have become young adults, young people that I had in my Sunday school class that no longer go to church here. I'm not going to mention any names or anything. We're not going to do that. But people that I know have grown up in Christian homes, let's put it that way, that I know personally, that have shared some things that just baffle my mind. I mean, like I said, these are kids that I've had in either my youth group upstairs or had in Sunday school classes, and they're sharing things that support pro-choice, that support abortion, that support defunding the police, and have complete disrespect for any authority in their lives. And man, that troubles me tremendously. I mean, I open these things up, and I'll read a lot of times the articles that they share, not to be swayed or not to see what the thing... I want to know what in the world was appealing to them that they have gone down this path. Why? What truth did they see or what truth did they think they saw in that post or that tweet or that message that they've joined a cause that tries to justify killing babies in the womb? That blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. And so, of course, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking about all these things because I've seen a couple of these posts and it was driving me absolutely nuts. And even the funny thing, I have kids and we all, have, you know, a lot of us have kids here and stuff. And this one person in particular made this post and stuff and he was bashing Christians, actually. And his mom gets on there and tries to plead some common sense into him and then he starts bashing her. And I'm going, man, what have we come to? You know what I mean? I mean, these poor parents, I mean, it's just, that's how divisive this whole pandemic has become. You know, I mentioned the differences in church, the way churches have been handled. I saw an interview, and I should have wrote this down, and I didn't, I apologize. But two different, completely different stances. The church that John MacArthur, that he is the head of, and Andy Stanley. Okay? Two completely different mindsets. One's not meeting at all and doing everything virtually online. The other one's meeting all the time. Now, they're a little different than us. Those are both big, big churches that have thousands of people come into their congregation. But John MacArthur says, we're going to meet. We're not going to stop meeting. We're going to meet. God tells us to meet, we're going to meet. Andy Stanley's stance was it on, well, we think by staying virtual and adhering to all the rules and regulations that our government has put in place, that we're showing the love of Christ through that, by protecting people. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. When we tried to decide whether we should meet, whether we shouldn't, I told Steve, you know, I feel a lot of times like I'm talking on both sides of my mouth because I can see both sides of the story. But let's not let it divide us. Let's make a decision and go with it. And let's not let it divide us. Let's not be critical of the other people that don't feel the same way that we do. All of a sudden, we think if they don't share our same opinions that they're wrong and they're evil people and they don't believe. It's not true. We don't have to be so judgmental. And so that's where I found myself. I found myself taking a good hard look in the mirror sometimes. If I'm going to judge these people that are putting these posts and sharing these posts and believing in these things, I got to look at myself. I got to think, well, where's my mind at? You know, the posts that I spend all this time on Facebook and looking at these posts and stuff, and there's a lot of things that I read and I go, yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, maybe hit the like button or maybe a thumbs up emoji or something, right? That's really getting out there for me anyway. but do I know where that statement or where that article or do I know where it came from? Do I know that it's true? We don't often do that research, do we? We don't often dig into what we're sharing, what we're associating ourselves with, and checking the facts. And I'm not talking about using Facebook fact checkers either, because that doesn't work necessarily either. I'm talking about looking into it for yourself, digging into it, and making sure that it's a valuable source and a true statement. So let's discuss a little bit why the truth is sometimes so hard to find. Now, I said before, I mentioned football already, I have to sometimes simplify things for me. And one of the things I understand well is I understand football. Okay? Why do we have instant replay in football or sports in general? Well, it's easy. Referees make mistakes, right? Especially if it goes against your team. Okay? But we have instant replay to try to get to the truth, right? You know, maybe that referee didn't see that running back's foot hit the line on the way down the sidelines for a touchdown because everybody's running down the field, and the instant replay showed that he did in fact step on that line and was out of bounds, right? Finding the truth. We had video evidence of it. Same thing with receivers catching the ball. How many times have we seen a play overturned because the ball was trapped, hit the ground before it got into his hands, right? Hard to see sometimes for a referee, but the camera caught it. We know the truth, right? You know, Jimmy and I were discussing this message just a little bit last week, and he came up with a good point. There's an accident out here at the intersection here, corner of 4th and Chestnut, okay? Why is it important that when the police get here to determine the truth, that they have more than one witness? Well, because if you interview 5 people, you're probably going to get 5 different perspectives on what happened in that accident. You'll have person number 1 who was maybe crossing the crosswalk, and their attention was focused on the car coming down Chestnut Street to make sure they had enough time to cross the street, right? The person in the car, they were coming down there, they were watching the pedestrian, they were watching the car coming up 4th Street to the other stop sign, hoping that they would stop. And then you have the person behind that car who was hopefully watching the brake lights of the car in front of them. And then you have another person who was walking down the street with his headphones in, looking at his phone, who only heard the squealing tires and the collision, who wants to be interviewed just so he can have his name in the paper, right? But they're going to take all those witness accounts and try to somehow get the truth out of that. All right, so I had a couple little things here, and this just played in my hand this morning. I wrote this in. This isn't even in my message, okay? But we're going to do a little test here, okay? So I heard a rumor this morning that Becky Barnhart's engaged. How many people think that's true? Ooh, a lot of hands, okay? How many people think it's false? Nobody raised their hand. How many people don't know at all? Okay, several people there. Becky, is it true? Yes, it is. Congratulations, Becky. Now, how do we know that's true? Well, for one, Becky posted on Facebook this morning. Okay? That's how I knew it. But I thought that it was probably a true fact because Becky's the one that shared it, right? It wasn't somebody else that said, hey, I saw Becky Barnhart last night and she had a ring on her finger and I think she might be engaged. You see what I'm saying? We had it firsthand from Becky that she got engaged. Okay? We weren't relying on another source or someone else telling us what they saw. Okay? Now I have another one. I heard that Chris Kurtz prefers room temperature water over ice water. How many people think that's true? How many people think that's false? How many people don't care? Chris, is that true or false?
It is true.
Do you know how I found that out? At the deacons meeting on Monday night. The pastor knew that, and he offered Chris a bottle of water, and he said, oh, you want one at room temperature? I have some of those. And I thought, why in the world does Chris want room temperature water over ice water? Because I love ice water. Now, here's the thing. I could put a post on there after that deacon's meeting, and I could have put a post on there saying how crazy Chris is for drinking room temperature water, because how much better is ice cold water than room temperature water in my mind, right? And you know what? If I posted that, we could get a whole argument started in the comment section about which is better, ice water or room temperature water, right? That's the world we live in today. We could get people to argue over water. Is either one right or wrong? No, it's just water. It's just water. We've got to make sure that we vet these posts that we see on social media before we hit the share button, before we see the like button and everything. How many people have gotten scam emails? And now I'll talk a little bit about the source, like we talked with Becky. We've got to talk about the source of these posts. How many of you got scam emails from, like, UPS? You have a package waiting to be delivered. Just send us your info and we'll get it to your door. Right? Now, what do they do? That email or that letter looks like a real official UPS message, does it not? Someone is using deceit to try to get your information, to scam you. The IRS, we've seen them with the IRS too, right? And the IRS creates fear in our lives because, uh-oh, the IRS is after us. They need information because there's something wrong with my taxes. Oh no, right? How many of us have seen or heard of people that have fallen for that trap? We have to find the source. We have to dig into it and make sure that it's real and it's truth. And that's why it's so important. You know, it used to be, there was a day and age, believe it or not, when you could turn on the news at night and watch the news and you could take that news as true and factual. Can you do that anymore? No, not at all. In fact, it is very difficult to find a non-bias, non-favoritism news source that doesn't swing one way or the other, that stands in the middle. They all have to choose sides. So it makes their news a lot of times unreliable because they're not focusing on the truth. They're focusing on what gets them the best ratings, what gets them the most attention, and what favors their side of the story, their political side a lot of times. And it's a sad truth that we can't rely on fair and honest news anymore. You know, the other thing that comes into play sometimes is timing and context of things. Now, I did some research into this, but there was it started back in 2017, okay? There was a post on Facebook that said, please pray for the families of the 30 SEAL team members that were shot down yesterday over Afghanistan in a helicopter. That's not exactly the wording, but that's what it said, okay? 2017. Now, if you dig into that and do some research, like I did, okay, when did that happen? Does anybody know? Anybody seen that post on Facebook? It happened in 2011. And that post was created in 2017. Now, that post has circulated through Facebook multiple times and has been shared as recently as June of this year, 2020. Now, it did happen. It was a partial truth. But the post was taken out of context. I mean, they were talking about in their post about, you know, the media's not covering it, nobody's sharing it, nobody's talking about this. Well, they did cover it in 2011 when it actually happened. And it is a tragedy. We still need to be praying for those families because it was factual. It did happen. And matter of fact, what made it so brought it to the forefront was some of the SEAL team members were from SEAL Team 6. Well, what did SEAL Team 6 do? They got rid of Osama bin Laden, right? And so part of that SEAL team was on that helicopter that crashed and perished. And it was a terrible thing. But the thing is, somebody was using that post to take things out of context, to get at the media for not covering it when it actually happened 9 years ago, okay? So we really have to be careful when it comes to context. Context is huge. how many times have you heard, well, so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that? And they'll take quotes and video, little video clips out of somebody's speech or message, and they'll put it on the news at night. The problem is, yeah, they might have said that, and they have a video clip of that person saying that, but you don't know what he was talking about for the 30 minutes before it, or the 30 minutes after that, or what context was taken in. How many false religions of our day have been created the same exact way by people taking just one verse or a few words out of God's word and taking it out of context and then creating their own religion out of it? The one that comes to the forefront of my mind is the Jehovah Witnesses, right? I have family members that are devout Jehovah Witnesses, okay? And they'll even tell you that they worship and they believe the same Bible that we do, okay? And they worship the same God that we do. But they read the same Bible and they don't believe in hell. How does that happen? Because they're taking it out of context. They believe that the new heaven is going to be created right here on earth. They're taking things out of context. Okay? So context is very, very important to us. Let's look back at our scripture verse. We need to get to some truth. Now, I'm going to get off my soapbox now and actually get to scripture to talk about a little bit what we need to be looking at as we go through our daily lives and try to discern the truth. Let's look back at Psalm 25. Verses 4 and 5, I want to focus on a little bit. It says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Isn't that all we really want? We want to see clearly what God's path is for us. We want to know what God wants us to do with our lives, right? I hope that's every one of our goals in life. Wake up in the morning and decide, what does God want me to do today? How am I going to live for God today, right? That should be our goal. How about right now? Could God end this pandemic tomorrow if he wanted to? Absolutely he could. So why doesn't he? The thing we forget is God is in control of all things. God allows these things to happen in the world. And we don't always understand him. Just because I don't agree with what's going on in the world today doesn't mean that God's plan is wrong. God's plan is perfect. And sometimes we have to go through things like this. Now, this seems a little bit extreme, right? But you know what? There are people turning to God throughout this pandemic because they're so desperate for the truth. They're so desperate for something to cling to that there are people that are turning to God because of this pandemic. But we also have the other group that are turning away from God because they're so eager to find answers that they're looking in the wrong places for those answers, and they're going to fix this all on their own, right? They're going to solve this pandemic on their own. Good luck, right? You know, the reason they don't understand all that is because they're missing something in their lives, right? They're missing the truth. They're missing Jesus. You know, when we talk about bad times and stuff, and somebody actually just mentioned funerals this morning. Well, Jim Bastian just mentioned it, you know, yeah. So I think of funerals sometimes and how we react at funerals. Funerals are always surrounded by sadness, right? It's really hard to say goodbye to someone that we love. But put it in perspective for a moment. If that person and that loved one knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're in a much better place, aren't they? We should be celebrating the fact that they are standing in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and not here on this evil world anymore. But that's not a lot of times how our human nature looks at it. We look at losing someone as such a sad and difficult time. But in fact, in truth, they're standing in the presence of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I actually witnessed a funeral. I had a friend that through hunting and stuff was a really pretty good friend of mine. But he was an atheist. He was a professed atheist. He didn't believe in God. His daughter was killed in a head-on collision, and her husband out in Idaho in, I can't tell you how long ago it was, but it was a while ago, and she was in her late 20s. Tragic accident. I don't know if she fell asleep. It was late at night. She drifted across the center line. They were both killed on impact. I went to her funeral service, her memorial service, whatever you want to call it, and no one prayed once. Can you imagine that? They didn't have anybody to pray to. They had no hope whatsoever because they don't believe in God. Can you imagine the hopelessness of that moment to say goodbye to your child and not believe that there's anything after death? That has to be a hopeless feeling. I can't imagine it. But you know what? The same people that are losing their minds over this pandemic in the world we live in today are those same people that don't have any hope. They have nothing to look towards for hope because they don't know who God is. They don't know who Jesus is. And, you know, that's some of the reason that we see all these false truths and stuff on social media and everything, because they're searching so hard and they dig so deep that they'll cling to anything that sounds right or true to them. You know, the truth does not always make us feel good. And that's the problem. These young people especially, they just want to feel good. They want to feel accepted. They want something that makes them feel better about themselves. So they're going to latch on to a cause that makes them feel better about themselves, whether it's right or wrong. They don't look to God's word because sometimes God's word has a way of convicting us, doesn't it not? Absolutely. And it's hard to hear the truth sometimes. I read a devotional this week that said, from the moment we were born, we're all facing death. I don't want to dwell on death too long here, but you know what? That's a truth for all of us. It's a truth that a lot of people don't want to hear or don't want to acknowledge. But every day that you wake up, you have an opportunity to live for Christ, right? You have an opportunity to live. We're not dead yet. Every day that you open your eyes in the morning, you say, okay, here's another day I can live for God, right? Are we doing that? And are we sharing and spreading the hope that Jesus Christ offers in our lives? I want to turn over to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. If we want peace in our lives, we need to be looking at things that are exactly that, things that are just and things that are pure and things that are good. And those things all come from Jesus Christ, right? They come from God. Those are the things we need to be focused on, even during this pandemic, when the world seems to be crumbling around us. We need to focus on those things that are good and just. See, the good thing and the peace that we get in our lives as Christians is we know the end result, right? We know who wins. God wins in the end. But for those that don't have Jesus, the end is a much bleaker situation. They don't have hope for life after death. They don't have the comfort of knowing that they live in eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Look over at John 14:6. John 14:6, and Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That was Jesus talking to disciples. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said he was the way, the truth, and the life. So the question is, do we all know Jesus? Do the people around us know Jesus? Are we sharing that truth with those that we run into every day? I certainly hope so. Now, for us as Christians, I want to close with one more passage that I think is very prevalent to what we need to focus on. It's in Ephesians 6. It's a very familiar passage, verses 10 through 17. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." If you look back at verse 14, it says to gird your loins with truth. Now, about you, but the loins are a pretty vulnerable area of the body. It tells me that the truth is something that's very important. It's a very important piece of the armor. All the armor is important. I'm not going to belittle any other part of the armor. But that scripture right there tells me what I should be doing during this pandemic. Tells me what I should be doing in a world that's crumbling around me. I need to put on the full armor of God. I should be looking for God's truth and for His path that He has laid out for us. And I hope that's what you're going to do with your life. I hope that's what you get out of today's message, is to see God's path for your life and live every day for Him. Share the truth that is His Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that He has to offer. Let's pray.